So the term identity is something not what is not fixed for you. So you can have different sexual identities, for example. Today I feel like that, tomorrow I feel like that, or how can I imagine this idea? So you can wake up tomorrow and say, oh, today I'm feeling more like a man, and today I want to be a man, you know?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, that's funny. Like, I haven't thought specifically in those terms, but I think so, yeah. I think to some degree all of us do that, you know, we wake
I
up
mean,
in
what
our
is masculinity at all? I mean, you have to believe in that categories to say today I feel like a man, don't you?
Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, in that sense, I don't know that I've ever woken up and said, today I feel like a man.
Yeah, so
That's.
it's artificial, it's cultural, it's a cultural thing, you think?
I do, yeah. Well, that's a really interesting question. I think in some ways it's relational, you know, to other persons sometimes. Like, for example, with my lover, she's a trans woman, and she kind of made me think a lot about a trans identity or an identity, especially outside of what your body looks like, one's body looks like. I mean, I've been thinking about trans issues, but to be having sex with somebody who's trans identified or identifies with the other sex that their body does not look like, quote unquote, it brings the issue even closer to home and really allowed me to think differently about my gender as opposed to my sex. And sometimes I feel like I relate to her as a man more than I've ever related to anyone else, because sometimes she kind of envisions me that way, or when we have sex, we can role play in that way. But I wouldn't say that necessarily has to be that. I wouldn't need to use that term. I wouldn't need to say she envisions me as a man or I envision myself as masculine. I mean, I could use other descriptor words, but it's kind of like a shorthand. I mean, it's a societally ingrained shorthand to say, ah, I'm in this situation, you know, I'm being more dominant, or I'm more rough, or I'm not as feminine, or you know, this, you know, all of those things that one might think of as masculine or male. I feel that. I feel tough, or I feel like I initiate, or I take her, or I'm on top of her, or I fuck her. You know, these terms that one thinks of as more male or masculine, but I wouldn't necessarily have to say male or masculine. I could use all those other descriptor words to say exactly the same thing. And maybe we ought to try to do that to get away from the shorthand, because it makes it more, you know, it gets us away from the binary.
But maybe this is even a kind of discrimination or sexism to say to be tough, to be dominant is something specifically male and not female. Why not female?
Yeah, exactly.
That's so somebody decided once, some thousand years ago, so this is male and this is female, and
Right. Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's true. If
this
we.
is completely nonsense to speak in these terms.
It's true. It's true. Yeah.
But we do.
Yeah,
We
we
have
do.
our language and our society, and yeah,
We do, like the
we just have
shorthand.
language to communicate, or body language maybe.
Yeah, the shorthand that we've come up with is very binary and does make all these assumptions that, you know, needn't be true, you know. You could equally say, I'm feeling very feminine today, very rough and tough and you know, and like fucking and taking and being aggressive. Very feminine. You know what I mean? Why
And the
not?
opposite today, I feel so masculine, and I have to put on my high heels today
Yeah,
and
right?
put my lipstick because I'm so masculine today.
Yeah.
But nobody would understand.
Right.
Nobody would say, okay, this is a contradiction
Right.
idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you can't do anything against it. I mean, you can try to break this, but it stays the same. even if you break. I mean, if you break, then it's a, yeah, Beweis, mm-hmm. you know, evidence that
the situation is
yeah, the opposite.
Yeah, it's true. It's very ingrained in us societally. But at the same time, I think we are undoing it. I think it's hard to say whom I'm speaking of, but I feel more and more in my immediate community that we're having more visible, multi kind of gendered identities and visibility and ways of expressing them. And we're confusing each other, and that's good, you know? Like, even just today, I called on the phone to someone. I said, yeah, you spoke with my girlfriend earlier today. And she said, well, but I thought that was a male voice on the phone. I said, yes, she is. She's female identified. And she said, oh, okay, well, I've met many trans people before, so now I understand. And so in that one interaction, then she realized, oh, well, maybe because I identify this voice as male, I shouldn't make an assumption about how that person wants to be identified. And, you know, we're undoing something and we're thinking, oh, okay, so the voice register that someone has doesn't necessarily, we can't necessarily assume anything from that, you know, and we're slowly undoing these ingrained things just by having examples and situations that confuse each other.
Yeah. But for a lot of people, it's so hard to not to have a strong identity, or as you just told, with this voice, different voices. People mm-hmm. want to know who others are and who themselves are. It's so, yeah, it's important for yourself. Who am I? What do I want?
Mm-hmm.
It stabilizes everything in a psychological way, I think.
Yeah.
And a lot of people do have identity crisis. Yeah. And they have depressions because of that, so
sure.
Would not be necessary, you would say, but probably it's something very deep inside. You want to know who you are,
yeah,
and what's your place in the world, and the same thing with relationships as well. So, who do I belong to?
Right. Who can I identify with? Yeah, but I mean, so often those initial, urges to be able to categorize somebody else as male or female is really superficial anyway, so it's not really, I would just say the ultimate idea would to really be able to get to know somebody and how they identify. And of course there perhaps is an urge to know whether or not to call them male or female, but it's quite superficial actually. And ultimately, we want to have a much deeper knowledge of each other, I would think, you know, that and to understand where someone's coming from, you have to have a deeper knowledge of them beyond whether or not they just identify as male or female or something else, you know. And also for ourselves, I mean, of course, like, I don't think any of us would avert an identity crisis just by understanding, you know, ourselves as one or the other. I mean, that would probably be more mind-boggling than having a deeper understanding, which is that, well, I have, you know, this, such and such, these quote-unquote feminine attributes to my personality, and on this scale I'm much more quote-unquote masculine, and, you know, and again, I'm using that short-term shorthand. But I think all of us fall on this long scale of our understanding of ourselves, and we, in order to have a deep understanding, it takes years and years and years and years, you know, of going more deeply.
Yeah.
So I don't think somehow, like, being able to just attach to a binary is going to really help us avoid this personality crisis.
You work a lot with your body,
yeah,
in form of your performances. Would you say that your body is, in that sense, a kind of weapon also, or is it too strong? I mean, in a political way. So I use my body as a maybe aggressive medium.
Right.
To change something.
Well, I guess they say, like, the pen is a sword. And I think of myself as a writer, and so I can understand the pen or the body as a weapon, in a sense, or as a tool. I'm really a pacifist, so I hate to use the term weapon, but sure.
Medium.
Sure, as a tool, or yeah, I get it. I think so. Yes. Yes, I would agree with that. Yeah. Because it's a way of speaking, you know, I can speak through my body. Like I said, I think of myself as a writer. From an early age, I was writing a lot, so that was one medium that I used. But I also have discovered through dance, like, how much I can say with my body, and also how relevant it is, because, you know, one of the things that I discovered in school, in university, especially, one of the things that bothered me was how much studying there was of other people, you know, even in the field of feminism or in gender studies, which I was in, or peace and conflict studies, which I was studying, was kind of studying other people and understanding other people and, like, this anthropology and interviewing other people. And I think it's important, of course, to talk to other people and to get to know them. But sometimes I felt through this studying was, like, kind of not really experiencing life through your own body and your own experience. So, we'd have professors that would talk about sex workers in this, you know, othering way. Whether it was positive or negative, it was still, like, so distanced from my experience as a 19-year-old college student and maybe my professor's experience as a professor. You know, it was, like, for me to really understand the idea of objectification, or, you know, the words that get thrown around about sex workers, like selling one's body or selling oneself and this kind of stuff, which I have a lot of trouble with. I felt like I can't really use this terminology or even say anything about sex work unless I really can understand it through myself and through my own body, and understand objectification through my own body. Like, what does that mean? It's such a broad
term.
Yeah,
but it's a difficult topic, isn't it?
It is.
Sex work. So yeah. You remember the Femen, Ukrainian group Femen? This feminist group that fight with their breasts in the naked
yeah. Yeah.
They also use their body as a weapon in a quite anti-feminist way, maybe, from the point of view of the second wave feminism.
Okay,
you know?
Sure,
you use the sexist male view.
Yeah.
To get your message through. And they once demonstrated in St. Pauli, Hamburg, in front of this bordel.
Yeah.
And then they said, hey, you are all free, stop working like that. And so, and then the prostitute said, oh, no, go away, you're disturbing us. And it's our will to do so. It's our will to work as sex workers.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the conflict is absolutely clear. So what do we fight for or against, and what is free will and what is not? And it's interesting question.
I mean it's a huge question within feminist circles, absolutely. I feel like, I mean, I guess you know my position on it. I feel like as long as a sex worker feels empowered about the work that she does and feels like she has choice in it, there's so many positive things that she contributes to the world. There's so many positive things that sex workers can do, and the amount of knowledge they have about sex and about relationships with other people is really, it's really infinite, and it's really something to be celebrated. So I don't see any reason to stigmatize her or her work if she chooses to do it. I think it can actually be really positive and bring a lot of positivity to the world. And I think that women who really want to have solidarity with each other, women and men who really want to have solidarity with each other, I should say, kind of ought to assume that a person who says, hey, I want to be doing this, they should support them in that, you know, in their choice to do that.
I think it's not a moral question, it's more a psychological question. So what does sex mean to me if I do that? Yeah, and could I ever sell it or do it without love or so? Yeah. Or just as work, yeah. So I couldn't, but if somebody can do so, why not?
I think the situation comes up in a lot of shades of gray for people who engage in casual sex, for example. You know, even if they're not prostitutes, but they're engaging in casual sex, I still think that there's, you know, to some extent, that division between this absolutely being in love. My manager says it's time to eat.
Okay.
And, you know, sort of having sex for fun or having some kind of division between being all in, like emotionally all in it or not. So I think there's a lot of shades of gray between, you know, selling, when one says selling sex, even within selling sex, there's shades of gray about how one goes about doing it, whether you know your clients and you work with them often and they're friendly, or it's really anonymous and what kind of circumstances. But I think the more support we provide for people to have positive experiences as sex workers, which means not stigmatizing it, not making it illegal, not making it invisible, the more visibility we can bring to that work and create positive experiences for it, I see no reason why it can't fit into a broader spectrum of the way that we all understand and have sex. You know, from the most sort of conservative and orthodox way of doing it, which is sex only within marriage, which is supposedly only in a loving relationship, right, that lasts your whole life, or, you know, or the seeming, the quote-unquote opposite of that, which is prostituting, but I don't see those two as opposites.
Yeah, okay, so I think you're hungry, you want to eat, maybe, I don't know, maybe one last topic or question. Yeah, what's the most important on my list? Yeah, there's so much to talk about. I mean,
yeah,
your blog
sorry,
is
I'm babbly sometimes.
Really large. I think you said on your blog or wrote on your blog that stripping, what you're doing on stage, is some is a kind of transparency for you. And you think that people can see you better or clearer, you as a person, when you're naked? Was it in a meaning like that, with transparency, or what is transparency in that sense?
I wish that I could think specifically which context I was writing that in, because it might help me to understand where I was coming from when I was talking about it. But
so you, when you're naked, it's quite private and you show something of you?
I think in some ways, you know, when you have anything on your body, it's like you're decorating your body and you're saying there's something to be read in whatever you're having on. And some people have asked me, as a performer, are you interested in putting on another character, like becoming this other thing on stage? And I think in a way, I'm not really interested in that. I've always been interested in the other thing, which is like becoming more and more personal and more like showing the true self on stage. So in some ways it seems natural to me that I would be able to strip everything down, including my skin and including all my flesh, and then just dance around.
So you want to show your soul?
Yeah, like my bones, and just dance around in this spirit that doesn't have a body attached to it or a costume attached to it. Because anytime you put anything on your body, you know, you're already saying something maybe about your gender, even in that moment, whether you wear a male gender or a female gender kind of costume. You're saying something, or whether you've made it yourself or you bought it at H&M or whatever, like there's messages in the layers of what you're wearing. So yeah, somehow I thought, okay, I want to strip off the costume, but then I also want to strip off the body, because when I'm naked, I have like breasts, or it's clear that I have this female body. You know, how can I get below that or beyond that? And I think there's so many different ways. I mean, some people would say, well, put on a bodysuit and become this neutered object, you know, but you still, like, how do you get beyond it? So, yeah, I mean, that's a question I don't have an answer for, but for sure, my goal would to be able to get as true as possible, the light, you know, to be dancing around as a light or something, that people just see that. And that would be lovely, you know, because that's how I want to connect with other people. And I think to some degree we do. I mean, as when you have a really amazing transcendental experience on stage or in the audience with the performer, it's because you're both seeing each other as lights and energy. You know, you're just seeing that pure energy force that's coming through. You know, that's a wonderful experience.
There's no answer to that one, though. There's no magic formula for getting it.
How can I understand you better when I write your texts or when I visit your show? What do you think? You as a person.
I think maybe you're just seeing two different sides of me. 'Cause when in my texts, you know, you're seeing my wordplay and what I've read and what I'm thinking about and how I'm trying to intellectualize
it. Theoretical,
isn't it? Yeah, and you know, just how I'm trying to put it into words. Yeah, exactly. Whereas when you see me on stage, I would think also people sense the joy in more of the joy and the childlikeness of my nature and the way that I can play, depending on what I'm doing. Cause sometimes I have very serious performances that probably don't seem very childlike. I don't know. I'm not sure. But in Bonaparte, at least, I think it's very, very childlike. And it's just going to that elements of play and experimentation. And so that's one side of my personality and my energy.
Oh, it's time for dinner, isn't it?
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Catherine.
So much.
It's really nice.
Really nice.